You know, I was thinking about when I do these things, how, yes, certain people in my family have said, you know, you should really go into voiceovers. And I'm like, there's not an industry where I'm at. I would have to leave town, which I plan to do, to get into the industry because I have done voiceovers before. I am actually in a training video about disasters and what happens. And it just so happens that someone that I'm related to heard the disaster video and said, "Oh, that voice sounds familiar." And they said that to me, you know, you should really do this. And I'm like, yeah, there's not an industry for it. Plus, I would have to get a demo, and those are $3,000. And originally, I was going to get a demo from the person I did the disaster thing for. But unfortunately, things happened and I didn't get it. So, you know, I mean, what can I say? I would love to be the voice of a cartoon. You know, I mean, look at Rick and Morty. I could play one of those characters. Although, not Rick or Morty, because, you know, they already have someone who does that, and it's brilliant, you know? So we go from Beetlejuice, which was the other day, to voiceovers and the human voice and what we can do with the voice and broadcasting, projecting, and, you know, monetizing your voice. And don't speak in a monotone, because trust me, nobody likes that. I was once privy to sit and take the LSAT because I took it just to take it, and I didn't want to be a lawyer, but I thought, you know, that was always my thing. I thought I would try things that I necessarily wouldn't try because I figured, hey, what does it hurt? And the person who read the LSAT to us, like the instructions, it was so monotone, and I just went, this is 3 hours long. Are you kidding me? All right. All right. This isn't 3 hours long because I don't think I could do a 3 hour podcast. You know, more power to Joe Rogan and those who do a nice long podcast, but I like to be done so at least I can get some rest and go about my day or go about my night. You know, these are vampire hours for me right now. And as I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking of someone was asking me, we were talking about vampires, you know, and everyone has, you know, the, you know, what is it, the what is it, the Twilight vampires. And I'm like, nah, I always like the True Blood vampires. Those were the better ones because they could fly, and you know, they weren't trying to be something that they're not, and they don't, you know, shine in the daylight, whatever. You know, first of all, they couldn't go in the daylight unless they drank fairy blood. Suki Stackhouse, just saying. And when it rains like this, it reminds me of just sitting inside and watching True Blood, which I did a lot of last year, you know, just kind of catch back up to it. So here we are in the late hours of midnight, you know, and I've been on sabbatical because they get a break and it's like, yeah, great, you know, and just applying for things and sitting here talking to all of you, using my human voice, you know. Oh God, my human voice. Although my spiritual voice is a lot stronger. And as I say that, I think of many people that I've been talking to about that. And someone said to me, we were talking because I'm a triple fire sign, and they were like, you know, you have a lot of power to you. And I said, yeah, I do. I do. I know not to misuse it. I know not to misuse it. And, you know, whenever I think of what's in me, I think of Doctor Who. You know, whenever Doctor Who changes and he has this, and his face changes, and fire shoots out of his arms, and he morphs. That's how I feel, you know. And, my dreams are an indication of that. I was thinking back to about 24 years ago. I was in college, and I would have these weird dreams. I wouldn't necessarily call them weird. Like something dark was about to come into me, but I wouldn't necessarily call it dark now. And it changed my whole perception and personification of life and everything. And, you know, that was when I was thinking about becoming an actor. And I did take drama class, and I met a lot of cool people in drama class. And then, you know, here we are now. You know, I would love to do voiceovers more than anything, because to be able to say to people around me, oh, yeah, I'm that cartoon, you know. I mean, I can't be Stitch, Lilo and Stitch. I can draw Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. I remember one time I was at work and I drew Stitch for them, and then I started just saying, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog." And they're like, "He sings too." I'm like, "Yeah, I do," with the microphone a little better. But you know, that's the thing with your voice. You know, when I do it, I remember if I'm singing for students, I have to be in key, because if you so much as mess that up, they don't trust you after that. It's like, oh, teacher can't even carry a note. So I start off by singing some Harry Styles, and then I know I got them. It's like, okay, now I can, you know, get into some Elvis and, you know, things like that. The human voice. The human voice is, I think I've said this before on this podcast, that texting is such a big thing, but I'm very old-fashioned. I prefer a phone call. I've always loved listening to a person's voice and hearing the different affectations and how they speak and when they're tired or when they're happy or when they're, you know, want to tell me something. And I love that. That's why when someone calls me or someone sends me voice clips, I'm very elated, because there's something very beautiful about the human voice. Very, very beautiful. Whether they're talking about words and how words connect, or just asking if you had a good day, you know, that's the important thing about it. And that's why I like the human voice. It's as I speak, you know, I'm speaking to you right now. I'm doing a podcast. I'm not doing a video podcast. I've done those. I'm doing an audio podcast, because those are much more intimate. First of all, you can't see what I'm doing right now. I'm sitting in a dark room, probably getting ready for bed, very relaxed, listening to the rain. As I say that, I think of the Janis Joplin song, Ball and Chain, which made her ultra, ultra famous at Monterey Pop, because she, you know, was singing about the rain. And I thought, oh, Janis, you know, just how evocative that is. But I will say, and I've said this before, her shining moment is Summertime. Summertime is such an old jazz standard. Everyone has done Summertime, from Billie Holiday to Ella Fitzgerald to Lana Del Rey. But Janis Joplin's is probably the best, because she's talking throughout it too. She's adding her own Janis Joplin-esque, you know, design sonically and vocally and emotionally to this song, and she's keeping it all intact. And that's what the human voice does. The human voice takes us to these places, you know, whether it's a voiceover or whether it's a storyteller, a narrator. You know, I've read to many, many people in my lifetime, and you know, there's a good way and a not so good way to read to people. And so whether you're doing the voices, whether you're being monotone, whether you are very comfortable reading the story and giving the, you know, narration that you really should be giving. So when I started doing this out, it was all about finding my voice. And I've done public speaking before, and public speaking doesn't really bother me. I mean, I really feel that I caught on to it. You know, I come from a long line of people who have had to give public speeches, you know, in education and in the military, and to rise to the occasion, shall we say. And so doing a podcast, you know, it's like, okay, you have to be in tune with your voice, because, you know, sometimes the microphone's not going to pick certain things up, you know, and some of you probably have no idea what I'm thinking about or how I'm feeling, or which is good, you know, because there are certain things that some of you don't need to know, how I'm truly feeling, what's truly in my innermost, deepest core of thoughts. You know, I remember I was at work one time, and one of them, she looked at me, and I was staring off into space, because sometimes that's what I do. And I was thinking about something. And she says, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And I lied, because I really wasn't feeling okay. I was just deep in thought, thinking, feeling. And, you know, so that's why I don't do a visual podcast. An audio podcast is better, because there are certain things that some of you don't need to see. Because my face, people can read it. People can read it, and I'm aware of that, the good, the bad, and yeah, you know, the other things in between that I'm feeling. People can read me. My eyes, you know, I'm fully aware of my eyes. My eyes convey something. You know, they are the windows to the soul. And my soul is very tough. It's had to be tough. As old as my soul truly is, and my past lifetimes, and there are certain people within my past lifetimes that I see, the eyes. And so we're back. Or as my friend likes to tease, please stand clear of the closing doors. Oh yeah, totally. If you're going to pay me, I'll do it. Please stand clear of the closing doors. The exits are that way, that way, and that way. Or reading a story. I mean, you know, when I was little, they would read to me, and that really did help fester my imagination. You know, when I was growing up, my favorite book was Where the Wild Things Are, because I was totally that little boy. I was mouthy. I would talk back. And then I had such a vast imagination where, you know, you dream and you truly wear the wolf suit and you watch that jungle grow within your room, and then you're able to escape your room. I would have so many dreams where I would always try to run away and I would escape. And I remember having a dream so vivid. I was maybe 6 or 7, and it was, and I never could put this together if I was truly kidnapped, because I wouldn't ever dare ask. But in the dream, I had been kidnapped and I escaped, and then I tried to fly. And I flew home, or I thought I flew home. And then I woke up in my parents' bed and was looking at this red clock. And so, you know, you have very vivid dreams like that. And you tell those stories. I always loved campfire stories growing up. Sit around the campfire and talk. And now, you know, in my world, it's smoke a cigar and sit around the campfire, which I've done many, many times. You know, or as I said recently to a friend, it felt like I was smoking a peace pipe. They're like, what do you mean? I said, I smoked that cigar all the way down to the nub because I was prophesizing, and they were just stunned what was coming out of my mouth, because, you know, some of you would think it's bullshit, but it wasn't. I just kept going. I was like that train. I just kept going and going and going and going and going and going and going. And so that's what I use my voice for, is to tell these stories. And, you know, maybe one day I'll do a book on tape of reading, you know, really great Grimm's fairy tales or mysteries. And then you have the music in the background highlighting the moment, the mood, and or being the faithful narrator to a story that everyone has heard before. You know, I think Alec Baldwin's narration in The Royal Tenenbaums is really good, because it sets the tone for the story, and then you forget it, that it's Alec Baldwin. He's just the narrator, and he's telling about the Tenenbaums and their father, Royal Tenenbaum, played by the amazing Gene Hackman, and this cast of characters and their dysfunctions and their hilarity, and also being very eccentric. You know, I come from a very eccentric family. They don't like to say that, but they are. And all these weird little tics that we all have. And when other people come into the fold, you know. So, yeah, the voice, the human voice is such an amazing thing. And, you know, with these phones, I think we forget that. I think we forget, you know, oh, we just send a text or an emoji. And I really think that's a load of bullshit. Because, you know, if I really want to convey something, I just send my voice or my video of me talking, because the human voice is such an extraordinary, beautiful thing. And I remember when the first iPhone came out, and it was all about hello, hello. Remember they did that commercial? And then it was the iPhone, you know. Because with the messaging for the first iPhone, you couldn't send, like, you couldn't do, like, a group text. And you couldn't, and then if someone sent you a picture or a video, you had to go to the website to retrieve it. And so I always thought that was a load of bullshit, you know. So here we are. I'm recording a podcast talking about the human voice, all the wonderful things that we can do with the human voice, like Beetlejuice, 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 telling stories, ghost stories, fiction, nonfiction. That's why I love audiobooks. I love audiobooks because I love having the book read to me, because it takes me back to being a kid. And when they would read stories to me, like Lopopo, which is this beautiful Chinese version of Little Red Riding Hood, beautifully drawn, beautiful story. Or I'm trying to think, I read a lot of books when I was a kid, Where the Wild Things Are, The Mouse and the Motorcycle. I always love those adventure stories, or even the novels, you know, the scary stories that you could read in the collections. And another story that I read when I was about 13, And I requested it, and I was surprised I got the book, because when I tell people this, they're still stunned. You were that young and you were reading the book. Yes. And I understood it too. Even though some of it kind of was like, okay, what is this? I was 13 and I requested a copy of The Color Purple, the book, before I watched the movie. And I read the book, and what I read was, woo! It tapped into some things I didn't know about. It tapped in. I mean, it's a very graphic book. It's much more graphic than the film, of course. And the way it's told, and, you know, see, it's told through Seeley and all these different characters and what Alice Walker brought. It was an amazing book. And also it dealt with something I wasn't aware of, which was, you know, talking about lesbianism. I didn't know about that. I mean, I did, but I didn't know in depth or detail. I thought, oh, okay. Because I was, you know, 13, I was probably, yeah, I was aware of my sexuality, but I wasn't ready for it. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, if this is what it's like, you know, and to tell the stories, and, you know, it's like, oh. And so when I tell people that I read The Color Purple when I was 13, they're like, what? Yeah, who bought it for you? One of my parents. Were they aware what you were reading? I think so. I didn't really ask. I just, you know, if I wanted to read something, I would ask, and or I'd go buy it myself. I mean, if I did buy it, I don't remember anyone questioning my age, and that I would be able to understand what was going on in the novel. And I understood, you know, I thought, oh, okay, this is very interesting story. And then you see the movie and you're like, oh, two different narratives right there. Therefore, we have our narrator. You know, and then they recently redid it and they made it into a musical. And it's like, okay, that's fascinating. That's interesting. And so, yeah, I mean, stories that we tell and stories that we bring to the forefront, ghost stories. I remember when I was teaching a couple of years ago, and I had this amethyst wolf, and they wanted me to tell a story. And so I looked at the wolf and I just told the story from scratch about this amethyst wolf, and it had magic powers. And I let them each hold the amethyst wolf. And I said, okay. And this wolf represented magic and this family that went into the forest and wanted to be protected. And they turned into amethyst wolves to escape people trying to hurt them. And it was a very interesting story. And they're like, where did you come up with that? I said, I just came up with it off the top of my head as I told the story. And so they were very intrigued by that. And it was good to wake up their imagination, because, you know, they're all asking me about screens and tablets and phones. And I'm thinking, well, you know, I grew up in a time where you told a story and you came up with a story and you came up with a narrative. You didn't have a computer do it for you. Your mind did the talking, and, you know, all of these things. Or as I say often now, chemical reactions. I'll say to the students, everything is a chemical reaction. They'll be like when I laugh at you, yeah, when you laugh at me, it's a chemical reaction. You're also doing it out of nervousness. Or when you are chewing your gum, that's a chemical reaction. Or the girl over there who's combing her hair in class, looking at her compact, that is a chemical reaction. Or we are all born out of a chemical reaction. And they said, what's that? I said, we're born out of love. So that is the ultimate chemical reaction. And I love to say that because, you know, or like I said, my talking right now on a podcast is a chemical reaction, because I am broadcasting to all of you using my voice in the most probably calmest, collected version of it, you know, versus being, you know, tired or being, you know, verklempt. If you know what verklempt is, then you're in the right place. And having these thoughts just all over the table. But tonight they're collected, and tonight I'm listening to the rain, and it's 1 in the morning. And so, yes, you know, my sabbatical is almost over, and then it's time to go back to work. So it's been interesting highlighting this aspect, and, you know, who knows, maybe one day you'll hear me in the cartoons, you know, or the commercials. I could do Tony the Tiger. Frosted Flakes, they're great.